7 o'clock in Richmond. You're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond. It's now time for a cause and effect.
Hey, well done. I really am in the passenger seat. Do we want to start with the talkover track?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Might as well kick that in while we do this. You are listening to Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl, and I am so excited not only to be covering an artist that I've never had the courage to do on my own, but to have a guest where I just get to kind of come hang out for the ride. It's nice to be in the passenger seat. So thank you, JJ, for doing last week's show. And as I've just sort of let the cat out of the bag, tonight's show is all about Boards of Canada. They are a Scottish electronic music duo. And, you know, I already feel wrong by saying electronic because I know they don't like to use that term in describing themselves. The fact that they're brothers and they don't even like to really be vocal about that.
That was the biggest thing in the world when that happened. It was like, whoa!
Did that get outed on Pitchfork?
I think in 2005. It was right before. Right around the time that Campfire Head Phase came out, and it was a really big deal. I guess it was the press for that album release. So,
God forbid people mistake them for what, Orbital?
Yeah, right.
So they've been pretty much along for the long haul with Warp Records, one of my favorite labels in the world. They are pretty interesting because they don't really do any of the usual band or artist nonsense. They don't love press. They don't put a kajillion photos of themselves out in the world. They don't tour endlessly. And almost I think that mysterious nature has kept fans even crazier about them. But my question first to you, Sean, besides saying thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you.
Why Boards of Canada?
Oh man, I don't know. They're amazing. I forget the name of the book, but Chuck Klosterman makes fun of hippies who come up to him and are like, dude, music has the rights to children, is the best thing ever. But I'm totally one of those people. Like, it's very nostalgic music. It's very,
Look, on this piece of paper I'm holding at the very bottom, handwritten note, nostalgic.
First thing, it's the texture, it's the quality, and it just evokes so much. I just had the most amazing, mind-blowing conversation with DJ Carlito about Boards of Canada. That totally flip-flopped whatever I was going to say for the next 2 hours. But the way they capture the sound of the 70s and, again, that nostalgia. And it's music that allows you to drift and very playful and can be very dark. And a perfect example of music, the more you listen to it, the more things come out to the forefront or you dig deep into the sounds and hear something you never did before.
And when we talked about doing this show, I wasn't sure timing-wise which would be the best way to go. And I thought, you know what? The holiday season is really stressful. And if I could think of a style of music that would make all of those holiday woes go away, this would be it. I'm really pleased that we found time to do the show when we did, because I think people need this right now. I think you're going to be in for 2 hours of a really pleasant experience.
As they're saying in the song in the background, the past inside the present, and that really kind of wraps up in a nutshell, a very weird nutshell, what Boards of Canada is. And I tried really hard, even with the artists and influences you'd expect to be really bugged out and spastic, to find the more laid back, kind of mellow things. Because even though I don't like to put Boards of Canada in the down tempo or trip hop sort of genre, it's that same sound that I was into at the time that led me to them, to be like, oh wow, this is, how did I not know about this as a fan of Warp music, or, you know, Aphex Twin or Autechre or whatever. So
well let's get to it. We'll stop talking and let everybody have a chance to kind of soak in who this artist is we're talking about. We're going to actually roll into another song by them called Music is Math.
Well, that's actually what's going on now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we skip completely over?
No, it was a short one. So.
Oh, yeah, that's, see? Right by me.
The intro to Gio Gatti and that first minute of this track we're listening to is, I don't know, that sound, the first time I put it in my car when I got the CD, you knew you were in for something. Not necessarily trouble, but a ride. And every time, it takes me back to that place. So
one last question for you. Do you have the promotional kaleidoscope that they gave away for this record?
No. In fact, I am babysitting a friend's records, and he has the High Scores EP on vinyl, and I was very excited that I have that. I'm going to play it on Friday for my show. So, yeah, I tried really hard to find. I have a good story about getting a copy of Gio Gatti. Maybe I'll tell later. But
all right, and we'll also talk about when you do your radio show, so people can tune into that as well. So this is Cause and Effect. It's 5 minutes after 7, WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond.
All my life, and it's been a short one. I met the happy and the sad together. I chased this soft warm air that flew before me, and through the storm on winds of love, the song of life. Starts to play, let me be around. Oh, can't you see how my heart soars high when I hear that music? When the music starts to play, let me be around. When sadness lays its cold fist on my shoulder and pushes me in icy waters drowning, the gentle hand of music lifts me smiling, and through the sounds my heart takes bounds. I happy am. And when the music starts to play, let me be around. I said, when the music starts to play, let me be around. Oh, can't you see how my heart soars high? How when I hear that music, when the music starts to play, let me be around.
Oh, you're in my blood like holy water. And I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said, love is touching souls. Surely you touch my anchor, part of you pours out of me.
WRIR would like to thank RVA Magazine for its underwriting support. RVA Magazine is a quarterly publication providing coverage of Richmond's art and music scene, offering editorials and opinions about events, people, and happenings. RVA Magazine is available at many local coffee houses, bookstores, and retailers throughout the city. You may find RVA Mag on Facebook, Twitter, and at rvamag.com. Thank you, RVA Magazine.
The Visual Arts Center of Richmond at 1812 West Main Street celebrates the 10th anniversary of the Artomat's arrival in Richmond, Virginia, an exhibition highlighting Artomat history and special limited edition art loaded into the Richmond machine. Anniversary works have been made by 17 well-known Richmond artists, including Mary Holland, Paul D. Pasquale, Alyssa Solomon, Noah Scalin, plus Artomat founder Clark Whittington. The Artomat is a retired cigarette vending machine converted to vend art and part of an international project run by Winston-Salem-based artists in cellophane. Exhibition runs December 1st through January 22nd and is free and open to the public. More information is at visarts.org. I guess it's visarts.org.
And you are listening to Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl, and I am in the back seat while Sean has taken the lead on Boards of Canada. I'm going to have him talk a little bit about what we just heard, and thanks again for being here.
All right, we're going to work backwards from what we just heard, which was a track on the 2002 album Geo Gotti called A is to B as B is to C. And there's a couple of reasons I included this. One, because it's one of the shorter kind of interlude tracks that Boards of Canada is known for. And in an interview, I forget which one of the brothers said it, that those are the tracks they really care about, they take their time on, and are perhaps their favorite. One example, I think in Geo Gotti, it was close to 70 tracks they might have made for the album that they pared down to the ones that ended up being on the album. So you have a lot that we haven't heard. And two, because this track is an audio palindrome, and if you were to take the waveform, load it up into Audacity or your favorite audio editing software, you would see that if you flip it backwards, it's the exact same as forwards, but the sound is completely different. And again, this is a perfect example of how their trickery, their studio trickery, what they like to do with sound, a lot of cymbals and weird kind of spooky, dark, menacing things that an otherwise lighthearted sound. And Geo Gotti, at first, especially from fans, got a lot of criticism for being sort of dark and creepy. I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, I love the fact that when you play that backwards, that last little bit we just heard, somewhere in there is a teddy bear picnic. I think that's sort of what intrigues me about this band, is they're sort of like scientists of sound. They're not afraid to mix organic sounds and analog sounds and layer it and loop it and do hidden messages and all the stuff that PMRC is terrified of, but not for evil, just interesting, smart blending of science and math and sound in ways that really haven't been explored before. It's sort of like a treasure map of time and space. And I know that sounds ridiculously heady for just two guys making music, but that's kind of what they do. And I think that's genuinely something exciting.
And of course, the whole inclusion of the teddy bear picnic thing harks back to their influence of like by things like Sesame Street and those kid shows in the 70s that were very psychedelic and forward for their time and presented content that was not only indulged, you know, these little sponges in front of their TVs, but, you know, their parents could look at and be like, oh, wow, that's really neat. Also, I feel like Boards of Canada has probably been on a teddy bear picnic or two. I don't know what goes on in Scotland, but I really want to go. So,
what else did we hear?
Before that was the Beatles with Strawberry Fields Forever off a Magical Mystery Tour. And again, just the overall sound of that is something they took an influence from, the studio trickery of the Beatles. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy who's like, it's the Beatles, duh. but, it, you know, again, that British influence, the psychedelia that's there. I believe in 98, when After Music Has the Rights to Children came out, Boards of Canada was listed as one of the top 10 new psychedelic bands alongside Flaming Lips and some other folks. So they are very psychedelic, heady music. Again, they get lumped in with electronic and that warp relation and, dare I say, folktronica. But yeah, well, again, one of the routes I debated going down, but chose not to for whatever reason, but
well
yeah,
done, sir.
You know, I don't know, the Strawberry Fields Forever, Magical Mystery 2, again, very lighthearted and playful and fun and sunshiny. And it makes you just want to go run around out in the country, which again,
we're running around in the studio.
Yeah. It's before that, Joni Mitchell, Awful Blue with A Case of You. And this gets into, again, the classic influences, a lot of folk they were listening to. At a young age, both brothers lived in Canada, and I guess I should mention, they got their name from the National Film Boards of Canada, which, like the Sesame Street, those films and those sounds in those films influenced them at an early age, but also it was the likes of Joni Mitchell and other folk artists, such as the Incredible String Band, a band from Edinburgh, much like them, who lived on a commune. And again, it's the melodies, the textures, the fact that the arrangements were different in each Incredible String Band song. There were a lot of different instruments, and it was very playful. And part of how Boards of Canada works is they start out similar to something like the Incredible String Band, maybe playing a lot of string instruments, penny whistles, and just these things you wouldn't think, and then they record them through broken tape players, or play it backwards, or add a delay, or do what they do it. And in their interviews are very much, you know, there's no secret, really. It's just the equipment they use and how they use that, the tape degrading or the hiss, the compression. So again, with the 60s folk music, the specific sounds the studio left on those recordings is what really influenced them, in addition to the melodies and the instruments used.
And yet deconstructing it all at the same time.
Yeah. And then before that, we had a track off the Andromeda Strain soundtrack, which I believe is one of Michael's favorite movies, if not soundtracks as well. That track called Hex, by Gilmel
or Gilmel,
who's an electronic jazz artist, done some other stuff on Verve that sounds similar but not as creepy. And that's, again, where that creepy side of Boards of Canada comes out. They try to capture that sci-fi and that horror, that vibe of the 70s that was post-psychedelic, sort of the haze where all the psychedelics wore off and the flower children are becoming adults going, what's this mush in my head? I don't know. I mean, again, their playfulness comes from, as young musicians, playing around with sound and mixed media, I guess is what you'd call it, where they incorporate many different sounds and vocal clips and recordings and just things they pulled from.
And that leads so beautifully into
The track from the Conet Project, which is 2 minutes of the numbers being read, which, if you're a Boards of Canada fan, any number of their tracks have a child or some creepy voice going, 7, 20, like, and what that is, an influence from, they're out in the world, these stations that broadcast and are creepily enough owned by intelligent military agencies throughout the country and throughout the world, I should say. And you can tune into them if you have a shortwave. It's nothing.
But no broadcaster or government has ever actually acknowledged that they're the ones transmitting the number. So it's still a mystery as to which countries for sure are the ones. It's kind of – that adds the extra mystery to it.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that was interviewed and asked, but he pretty much said, yeah, they are what you expect. So these are coded, you know, going out to agents in the field. Or
not meant for public consumption.
Exactly.
And yet, here they are.
And again, it's just one of those things that's in the ether that gets discovered, and it harks back to the discovery in the Music Awards of Canada, where you hear these things, or you pick up little sounds and bits and pieces you may recognize, or just your mind plays tricks with the music. And again, I think that's what is so great about their music.
So where are we headed now?
Okay, we're getting into more of the electronic stuff they're influenced by. I'm going to play some Windy Carlos, a.k.a. Wendell Carlos, and then some Deutsche Amerikanerin Freundschaft.
Deutsche Amerikanische Freundschaft.
I should be able to say that. I took German. But and yeah, early on in the 80s when they were making music, they were in a much more bandish band. Michael started off in a band that had keyboards and synthesizers and drums, and then it wasn't until 86 where Marcus joined on bass, and they're playing shows alongside these glam rock cover bands. And it's probably not unlike the scene in Sheffield around the time Human League and Cabaret Voltaire and all them came up, where they would be playing, but then you'd have who is it that was Def Leppard? No, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
that's right. So you just these weird combinations where you have these weird kids with their synthesizers playing alongside glam rock and just rock bands.
Let's get back to some music.
Yeah, let's.
So you're tuned into Cause and Effect, and it's 7:35.
Thank you. A similar voice, taken the clothes, changed. picture of himself. The tape was running and the TV turned. We'll be right back.
this is the Wobetides. Tune in to The British Breakfast on WRIR 97.3 LPFM with Gene in Richmond, Virginia, USA, and broadcast live around the world at WRIR.org.
You really should tune in on Saturday and listen to Gene, because if you've been following, Gene took a little leave from British Breakfast, and he's coming back. Not sure if it's this week or next, but that's like the best Christmas gift anybody could give. So for goodness sakes, for Santa's sake, for whoever's sake, do listen to Gene. That's, 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings. And if you're up earlier, like 3 to 6 earlier, I have a show that time too. You should listen to that. Slight Social Noise Sound System. Right now though, Cause and Effect, WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond, Boards of Canada. This track off of High Scores. So enjoy. You are listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond. It's Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. That means you, wherever you are listening, throughout the city, throughout the state, throughout the world, in other worlds, other galaxies. It's Cause and Effect, all about Boards of Canada. Got another hour left for you, so stick around. Heading through some warp tunes right now. This is Autiker in the background.
Thank you.
What is healthcare.gov? Is it a website that makes it easier to find healthcare coverage and clearly explains how new rules like the Patient's Bill of Rights in the Affordable Health Care Act will benefit you, your family, or your business? You can check out healthcare.gov regularly to stay current about the benefits available to you and informed about what's ahead.
All right, right now we are listening to the Aphex Twin, track called We Are the Music Makers from Selected Ambient Works Volume 1. And in going back preparing the show, the date on this is 1985 to 1992. So Boards of Canada lists Aphex Twin as an influence, and a lot of their early pre-commercial available stuff, their tapes that they distributed family and friends, is very crude electronics that sound similar to a lot of what Aphex Twin and the folks who later became Warp were doing. So hence this track.
And Boards of Canada started really outputting stuff around 87?
The more electronic stuff.
Right.
In the early 80s, kind of when they're listening to Human League and stuff like that, more proper band. And then eventually Michael and Marcus just decide, okay, we're going to do our thing. And they're making their Super 8 films. They're making the soundtracks to them, playing around, borrowing equipment. At the point where they're like, we're working cruddy jobs so that we can buy stuff for ourselves. Late 80s is when they form Music 70, which is their label slash creative, brand? Because if you look on all their releases, even though they're on Warp and Scam, it still has the Music 70 label. So that's kind of where everything originates. Around the same time, while they're listening to Aphex Twin and early Autechre and stuff like that, they have these, what they call Hexagon Sun collaborations, which are all-night parties with bonfires and kind of multimedia video. They're Super 8 videos. They're making music with their friends. And these are also known as Red Moon Nights, which, as far as I understand, still go on to this day as often as they do. And this is pretty much what, at least me and my friends, used to nerd out about in college, is being like, Boards of Canada sits around all day talking about geometry around the bonfire, and then they bring out a synthesizer and you do their thing. So
that's my kind of party.
Yeah, right. If anybody out there has the hookup, like,
let's do it.
So that's where we're at right now. Late 80s, early 90s, before the Aphex Twin, Weird Autechre off of their first release on Warp, in Cunabula with Brocus 2. And Autechre was on the influential Artificial Intelligent compilations, which I believe two volumes were released on Warp, and that set the precedence for the brain dance, the, I don't want to say it, but intelligent dance music sort of genre that IDM. All these guys, yeah, I mean, it's totally a genre where everyone's like, oh, that's a crap name, whatever, but that's what it's known as affectionately, or non-so. Before that, we had a track off of their first EP on Scam, High Scores, which is called NLOGAX, and that's that disco track you heard at the top of the hour. And again, it's in one of their interviews, they sort of describe it. It starts out very straightforward. You've got that melody, and then somewhere midway through it, it just gets really bugged out, and it's like something's wrong. And I feel like, without knowing for a fact, they have a lot of experience with psychedelics. For that very reason, like, their music is very warm and fuzzy and cuddly, but they aren't afraid to acknowledge the darker side of reality. And that's where a lot of this creepy stuff people associate with them sort of comes from, in addition to capturing that vibe of the era they grew up in. So, yeah. And then before that, we heard My Bloody Valentine with To Hear Knows When off of Loveless, which I feel like My Bloody Valentine is one of those bands you probably play a lot on this show.
You know what? They don't come up as often as, say, Bob Dylan or the Velvet Underground. For a while, I'd say like 3 years ago, every band seemed influenced by My Bloody Valentine and shoegaze. But it's sort of taken a little respite. That fad seems to have dried up, and other stuff has kind of rolled in. Actually, that's something I haven't done this year, and I need to revisit that. Is I used to make a list at the end of the year of the artists who were most played throughout the year, sort of like the top influences of 2000 and whatever the year was. So I should probably redo that again. Thank you for reminding me
of
that.
Of course. No, I feel like bands of a certain age, like, they always bring that name out, but I don't know. And then we heard the Human League before that with The World Before Last off their album Reproduction. And then the track Grief Nacht in Sternen from a best
well
of.
Well done.
Yeah, I think I forget the translation. It's Follow the Stars or Chase the Stars. Again, my German teacher would smack me upside the head for not knowing, and I totally looked but just forgot to write it.
Das ist nicht
gut. Yeah, right. But so yeah, you know, again, we have this early synth pop kind of minimal electronic, and again, mid-80s, that's what they're doing, you know, the shoegaze influence, and then the IDM, the sound of London and the rave, that scene that's developing the whole time in England, but then in Edinburgh, Boards of Canada's having their parties, taking their own spin on it. And then
take that, England.
Yeah. And then right here we have Square Pusher doing a track called UFOs over Leonstone. And I think this is great because it's Square Pusher, and anybody who knows Square Pusher thinks bugged out drum and bass, like very jazz influenced crazy rhythms. And then you listen to this and it sounds like a Boards of Canada B-side. So I think that's really great. Speaking of B-sides, we got a unreleased Boards of Canada live track from 1999 coming up after this, and then we'll get into some remixes they did for folks like Boom Bip, Beck, and Cloud Dead, and then get into the more modern stuff as we wind out the show.
So stay tuned. You still have 47 minutes.
And we're going to keep on spacing out. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Tracy, once again. Thanks for Brad.
Thanks, Sean.
Calling in at the top of the show. I never said thank you to him. And, of course, I already said it once, but I'm saying it again. I'm excited Gene is coming back to British Breakfast. And because this is a British group, more, you know, UK group, and, you know, I've totally covered for his show and played Boards of Canada on principle for that reason.
Way to bring it full circle. We're all part of the same family.
No.
setting sun, broken drum, little drums, never forget.
From the height of the highway on ramp we saw
two dogs,
a dead in a field,
glowing on the Oakland Coliseum, green seats, wasteland.
Dogs we thought were dead,
they rose up.
Rose up when whistled at,
a ribcage inflating,
like men on the beach being photographed.
A guard dog,
guard dog.
For what?
For what?
Against
overzealous,
penniless,
athletic
fanatics,
getting
into
things
through a hole
in the
fence
for the owner of the blue tarp tent.
Pitch by a creek beneath the on-ramp,
in the privacy
of the last three,
given booty tree,
devoid of leaves,
us undersea,
with our new CDs,
zipping on Diddy,
Oakland. It's hard to stand the sight of two dogs dead under a sky so
to be your attendant dog.
To be your attendant dog.
Was greeting by the side of the highway.
Too long to be dead.
Center of a curious crowd.
To be touched.
Sticky like nearly dried paint.
Their soft science stare.
Nursing your face.
Anticipating the slide.
I flinch of pain. Everyone blank.
An accident all.
As the car
crash.
Fiberglass.
Dust.
Straight up settles on your raw muscle tissue. It's hard to stand the sight of two dogs dead under a sky so blue. You have to stop the blood to your head to fit the breath in front of you.
Paul's Boutique. Choice cuts hand-selected by me, DJ Paul G. Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio.
Hello again. Listening to Cause and Effect, Boards of Canada style. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
I'm Lightning's girl.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking this on. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Boards of Canada are one of those groups I've wanted to do a Cause and Effect on, but I just felt like there had to be somewhere out there who's a much bigger expert on the subject than I. And you fit that perfectly. So thank you for tackling this rather complicated.
It's a tricky group. Thing. And I feel like a lot of people are fans of them and have a lot to say. But the witch doctor hasn't called in to call me out for wrong facts yet. So I think, I guess I'm doing all right. So when we last left, we were listening to Square Pusher. And then it went into a live track from Boards of Canada, which is a big deal because they don't play out live much. They have their festivals with their friends. It's a very small knit sort of thing. But as far as live audiences, aside from some shows in the... I mean, there's probably like a handful, maybe 10 shows or so that are listed as live shows on this great website called bocpages.org, which pretty much takes all the legend and lore of Boards of Canada and puts it in one place. And they list 10 shows that they've played live. That one was from 1999 in November. That was the Warp 10th anniversary, and that track was unreleased. And it sounds like Boards of Canada, just like most of their stuff does. And so I just figured play a live track because that's such a rare experience. Probably none of us will ever have, unfortunately. So just put it out there. And then we moved into remix territory. The first of the three remixes we heard was from a track from Boom Bip, who is a American hip-hop producer. That was Last Walk Around Mirror Lake, and perfect example of Boards of Canada takes a track and makes it their own. And again, Boom Bip's sound is much... It's that down-tempo, that silent nostalgic sound, but very sample-based. I know he does a lot of live instrumentation, but it's still very clean compared to like the sort of damaged and affected sound of Boards of Canada. So that's a really great remix. And then the Beck remix, I know...
Hands down, my favorite track on this whole set, besides besides Boards of Canada. I think that this particular track, I can see why you've said you've listened to it a bunch, because it's really beautiful.
Yeah, and I remember reading where Beck, you know, he asked them to do it, he approached them, and they did it, and he was just really amazed with how they what they did with it. If you're familiar with that track, Broken Drum, and a radical difference. Then the last remix was of Dead Dogs 2, a track by Cloud Dead, which is probably one of the closest things America has to Boards of Canada, save the fact that, you know, they have a lot more spoken word, but
wow, I could probably spend a half an hour questioning that, but
no, go ahead. I mean, I was gonna say a lot of people don't like Cloud Dead, and even for me as a fan, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's Cloud Dead, I get it. But in particular, I rather than the band, maybe Odd Nosdom, I guess a lot of his production, particularly this track off his second album No More Wig for Ohio, it just sounds like a Boards of Canada sort of thing. I don't know.
I'll have to meditate on that a little bit. I've never thought of them in that light.
So. I said, Cloud Dead is one of those bands. They come with a whole lot of other associations. So feel free to call me out on that again. I will take no shame in it. But it's but one thing I like about that remix is that's where you really hear the influence of something like the Incredible String Band in the arrangements and the melodies they bring forth. They're very playful and very kind of, I don't know, just psychedelic in a way you wouldn't expect. And again, as much hate as Cloud Dead gets, they are psychedelic in their own right, too. But, like I said, the influence comes more of the Odd Nosdom thing in my mind. Like, a lot of his tracks are composed in the same way, and Boards of Canada has reached out to him for remixes. And I think, sort of, you know, they see the relation, too, and or at least the brotherhood and camaraderie, and the, like, you get it sort of thing we do. And that, you know, as much as Anticon and all those guys and Mush, that sort of hip-hop gets hated on, there's a lot of good sounds in there. Tobacco, another artist on that label who has the same vibe of recording to tapes or beta tapes and taking old weird equipment and making something very nostalgic with it,
and definitely an exciting vast collection of influences that go into the making of those kinds of songs.
Yeah, but and still retain that very like childlike nostalgia. Speaking of folks that Boards of Canada has sought out and gone, hey, you guys get it. This next track by Bibio, called Marum, off his LP Hand Cranked. And I don't know if anyone follows Warp. Bibio had his album come out. I believe it was this. I think was that 2000. I can't remember, but it came out either early this year or into last year, and it's very Warp sounding. And
are you talking about Hand Cranked?
No, not Hand Cranked. The most recent one. What is it? It's, I can't even think of what it's called. I'm so bad. Now I can get the phone call about blanking. But either way, Bibio is one of those artists. After you hear this track, you hear it's very organic, very like just meandering and ambient. And his more recent sound has that IDM-y beat driven thing. So it's interesting, as he's gone from being an independent artist to being signed on Warp, how that has warped his sound. I don't know. And then, so we're going to play that track and then get into a couple tracks off a compilation called One on Twoism, which is a bunch of kids from this board, message board Twoism, that's dedicated to Boards of Canada. And you'll hear the obvious influences, and then we'll sneak in some more recent things along the chill wave, neo new age, whatever you want to call it, sound
stuff the kids like a lot.
Yeah,
lots of end of year top 2011 release list.
Pitchfork will approve of the last 15 minutes of the show, and we're gonna go ahead and get into
Yay.
It so I can fit it all. I think that's good, right? I don't know. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk again soon. All right, I'm going to get back on here and ramble a little bit about where we're headed and kind of what happened. We heard that Bibio track. We heard a track called Satellite Positioning from Essel Fortium, which is on the One on Twoism Volume 1. And there are four volumes of that that's been put out. And you should check it out. Twoism.org is the... Twoism message board. Google it, or Google One on Twoism, or your favorite search engine. And you'll find those, and it's pretty much just Boards of Canada fan kids making Boards of Canada sounds, which is really great when we're all anxiously awaiting that album that's supposed to come out in March, or whenever it's supposed to come out according to, like, the numerology and the mythical formulas of Boards of Canada, hopefully sooner than later. Last track we heard was Neon Indian with Mind Drips, which every time I hear I go, Boards of not Canada. And sort of just saying, hey, this chill wave scene and vibe really in America, one of those things that obviously takes influence for a lot of reasons, whether they realize it or not, from Boards of Canada, in that there's that nostalgic, washed out, psychedelic sound. This right here is 10 Trix Point Never off an album from this year, Replica. The track's Submersible. Also, in that same vibe, nostalgia, this entire album is made from samples he got of like 90s infomercials, I believe, or like, I forget if it's infomercials or commercials or positive speaking speeches. Either way, same kind of vibe. And this album has very specific moments where I'm going, oh, Boards of Canada sound. Next track you're going to hear is from Clams Casino off Treetop, or off of Rainforest, the EP. The track is Treetop. Clams Casino, probably best known right now for doing a lot of beats and production for underground rappers in the States, like Lil B and ASAP Rocky. Lil B, known for doing spoken word bits and pieces over Boards of Canada instrumentals. And speaking of R&B and rap folks doing, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag on this one. The final track is from Solange Knowles of Destiny's Child, singing over the Boards of Canada's track Left Side Drive, and that'll round out the show. Oh,
I'm gonna jump in really quickly here. Thank you so much for listening to Cause and Effect tonight. It's been sort of a treat to take the back seat and let a genuine expert on Boards of Canada take over. Next week I have a very special show planned. My wonderful assistant has a birthday coming up, and she requested Bon Iver as her birthday theme show. So not only will I be doing that to celebrate her birthday and one of her favorite bands, but I have a special guest coming in to the studio to help make that show happen. So I'm not gonna say who it is quite yet, but it's gonna be a really special show, and I'm very excited to offer Carson a unique birthday gift. just a couple minutes left. Thank you again, Sean, so much for doing such a great job.
This is great, and good call to the Witch Doctor for calling out which Clams Casino track I was gonna play. Because if you know Boards Canada, if you know that EP from Clams Casino, it's kind of obvious.
Any shout out to Nutley, New Jersey, I'll take it. As a Jersey girl, yes.
And it's funny that he got that name. I don't think he's ever had Clams Casino. so it's really weird reading about that kid and his sort of life and his involvement in that I guess hip hop scene. But sure enough. Also, thanks to Hobbs calling in. Always a pleasure to hear from Hobbs. Good to know he's listening, tuned in, and supporting Richmond Independent Radio.
Paul's Boutique up next.
Yep, and you guys can catch me tomorrow, 3 in the morning. Well, Saturday, 3 in the morning, but sort of tomorrow. Slight noise sound system. It'll sound like this, but different. Thanks again.
Try.